Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Access Astrology. My name is Ann Ortley, and I'm one of three astrologers that gets together every Monday night to talk to you about the week ahead and what's going to happen. I'm sitting here in my bright red desk on the Upper East Side, and I am currently joined by...
Monica Wolf on the island of Manhattan over on the west side.
Yeah. And Heather's joining us shortly. She's in transit. The woman travels more than anybody I know. It's a fabulous life. My next life, I'm going to come as a traveling person. This life, I tend to stay home in my house with the cats, you know? So,
right.
She got out. No, she's still home again with the cats. So what we're going to talk about today is what the week of the 12th of April 2010 holds, what's happening in the sky, so you know how to work with it energetically. And then we always take calls from our listeners or calls from people with questions. And we got an email from someone earlier today or earlier this week saying, can you please look at my chart, but don't give out my birth information? So I thought it made sense to explain why we ask to have permission to give out your birth information. Part of the purpose of this chart, this radio show, is to teach everybody how to work with astrology and what astrology does and what a great gift it is. So the reason we need to put the birth information out, we don't give your name necessarily, but we give the birth information so that everybody who is studying astrology and who is listening at home can follow along by pulling up the chart and looking at what we see and seeing how we see it. So it's kind of an educational process. So while we love to give information, we do need to give the chart information so the listeners can follow along at home. And so we're happy to give your chart an assessment or a look-see, but we do need to publish the information. We won't give your name, but the date, time, and place of birth so that other people can find it. So that's why we do it. So feel free to email us if you have comments or suggestions or ideas, or you even have topics that you want us to cover. The idea of this program actually was initiated by Heather when she moved to New York a few years back to work on her divinity degree. And she was like, why don't we have a place where people can go and learn about astrology? And we said, gee, you know, actually Mark said, gee, I don't know. And then he suggested me, and Heather, Mark, and I all started talking at a bookstore, which went out of business. And then now we're talking at another bookstore. And Heather, in the meantime, you know, moved away, got her degree and moved away. So now we're doing the radio show as a way for people to access astrology and really learn to look at their chart and learn to see what's going on. So I thought that's kind of why we're here. So, Mark, what do you see in the week ahead? Anything exciting?
Yeah, and first of all, let's give some information for our callers, too. Ann mentioned emailing us.
Mm-hmm.
And the way to do that is go to astronyc.com, astronyc.com, and you can send us an email through there or check on any information on us.
Right, right.
And then you can also phone us in live and in person on this radio show. And what's that number again? Do you have that in front of
you? I don't have it up right this second, but I'll pull it up in a second. I'm booting things. Oh, wait, there it is, 347-215-8881, 347-215-8881. So we'll talk about it.
You dial that number, and then you press 1.
Yes, and then your hand gets raised in the queue, so I can see you, your hand raised, and I can call on you. And you can also call in and listen to the show and not press 1, and I won't call on you because your hand won't be raised.
Right.
So it's always good to know that if your hand is raised, I will call on you. And if not, I won't call on you. I'm learning all the new tricks of Blog Talk Radio. So what we're going to do tonight is talk a little bit about what's going on in the sky and what the energy feels like. And then hopefully Heather will join us from the road, and we'll go from there. So, Mark, what are you looking at as the big excitement this week?
Well, every time Mercury goes retrograde, it's exciting, and that's happening this week.
Mm-hmm.
And also we have a new moon.
Mm-hmm.
This will be the Aries new moon in 24 Aries. Sun and moon are together. And what else do we have? We have some things going on with Juno and Venus sextiles Jupiter at some point, too,
mm-hmm.
right?
Right.
then next Tuesday, the sun will go into Taurus. So there's a lot of shifting going on, and we're moving toward late spring at this point. It's not early summer yet, but we're moving toward late spring. Or actually, we could say middle spring. It's not really late spring yet, middle spring. And Aries being early spring. So this week we'll be kind of winding down the Aries portion of spring. And that means everything will be pretty much open and on its way. And I'm noticing that this weekend really strongly where we are, the leaves are all now coming out and a lot of the blossoms are on the trees. So it's really quite spectacular. And we get a Mercury retrograde. That Mercury is in Taurus. And so it's going to stop about halfway through Taurus and back up to early Taurus and then go direct again. And that's a three-week retrograde. All the Mercury retrogrades last about 3 weeks. And that happens three times a year. So we'll talk a little bit about that as we move along. What else do you see, Ed?
Well, I think the Mercury retrograde is always one of my favorites because, you know, Mercury is the jokester and the comic trickster, cosmic trickster. He always causes excitement whenever he is going backwards. So one of the things that we're spotting with him when he goes backwards and he does this whole kind of shifting energy is we say, oh, wow. And so what he does is he brings to light the things that we don't necessarily pay attention to. And he also brings to light the things that are secret and hidden because he's kind of a little problem guy. Now, we also know the basics. You know, we know the planet Mercury doesn't actually back up. But it appears from Earth's perspective that he backs up. And right now in the evening sky, if you go to the west and look in the west as after the sun sets, you'll see Venus. And then right below her, she'll pop first because she's an evening star right now. And right below her is Mercury. He'll pop up and he's just above the horizon because he's it's the highest he's going to get. And then he's going to stop and go back towards the sun. And so we're all looking at him and saying, oh, he's stopping. And when he pauses, whenever a planet pauses, because the heavens are always in motion, when a planet stops, it draws attention to itself and it draws energy. Mercury rules communication. He rules connections. He rules your computer. He rules your cell phone. He rules your friends. He rules the people that you talk to. He rules your siblings. He rules your car. So he's a very busy guy in terms of giving you the process of connecting and relating and all those things. And he also causes trouble with all those areas. So like in my case, when he went into his shadow, my computer said, I'm full. I'm like,
no,
what?
No, really?
You know, I'm full. And I'm like, what? I've never had a full computer before.
No.
So it was very cool because it was like, okay. And it was forward we go. And I was like, all right, what do I do with a full computer? I guess I have to take some stuff off. And that's what I've been doing the last couple of days because I'm like, okay, my computer's full. What does that mean?
You can add a outside drive too. Right?
I know, but it also means that you know it's kind of like the piles of stuff in your house. I've got a full computer. It's like the piles of
okay.
You know, yeah. And it won't let me load new things on it because it's full.
Right.
I'm like,
yeah.
Wow, full computer. So I kind of went, all right, I guess this means I need to do a little cleanup. So that was kind of how I took it. And Mercury retrograde, you're supposed to redo, revisit, revise, adjust things, change things. It's got a whole energy around adjusting, changing, and shifting stuff. So,
plus it brings you all that history because you had to look at everything.
Yeah, and go back and read
remember
it again.
When it got in there and do
oh,
I need
man.
To keep it, right?
Yes, and then say, okay, yeah, I do need to keep this. Oh, no, I don't need to keep this. Oh, okay.
Yep.
So, so it's definitely
it's
one
definitely
of those.
It's definitely retrograde. Yeah.
Yes, Mercury retrograde.
Looking backwards.
Working backwards, yeah. So it was kind of one of those, all right, so that's been my big excitement this last, and, you know, running around a lot. When Mercury retrograde, a lot of times you'll have people in who you haven't seen or people are around or calling and saying, hi, I'm here. And so that whole thing is very much process in terms of getting in touch and being connected and stuff like that. So we watch the energy, and we know with the Mercury retrograde that our job is to reorganize and revise and redo through May. And Mercury is in Taurus, so if you know the degrees of your chart, it's going to be asking you to revise the section of your chart that runs from 2 Taurus to 12 Taurus. So those planets are all under control and all under change and, you know, asking you to shift and do them. And do them in a new way, okay? Or revise them, revisit, any R-E word. That's cool. It's like, yes, we go. So that's the big excitement. Then the other thing is we have a new moon in Aries. And the new moon is at 24 Aries on April 14th, which is Wednesday, and it's at 8:29 in the morning. And the new moon has kind of the planets spread all over the place, and it also has a finger of God. So a lot of times when we see a finger of God on a new moon, it asks us to take a new direction or to start doing stuff in a new way. And so it's got a very strong energy around, okay, this is where we're going now. We have to adjust and move towards it and go forward. And if you know that, then you just go, okay, that's where I'm going. Let me move towards it and let me be forward motion, forward motion, forward motion. So that's the idea. And so the new moon starts new projects, starts new things, and the in conjunct to Saturn says, okay, I'm ready to go, and I'm ready to take the direction. And then the Neptune Chiron is also fueling the new moon, because the Neptune Chiron are sextile to the sun and the moon, so they're going to be acting kind of like as little flippers. And then the direction that the chart heads is towards Saturn. In this case, Saturn rules the 8th house of transformation, the 9th house of your belief systems, and the 10th house of your direction in life. So this is a pretty big section. You know, your transformation, your money from other people, how you're valued by other people, your belief about that, and then the direction you want to head. So that's kind of a powerful energy. And it also has a lot of planets in the 12th house. So with Mercury stationing in the 12th and all those planets in the 12th on the new moon, expect things that have been hidden to come to light and for you to go, that's what that means. And your job is to say, okay, ready to roll. And that's the idea. So, you know, knowing that is how do you get forward in that direction and know that you're supposed to be picking a new direction. You're supposed to be figuring out a new way to move. And that's part and parcel of the energy. So it's kind of cool. I'm looking forward to it, actually. And, you know, I got a lot of stuff done today. I'm getting a lot of stuff done tomorrow. I'm like, yeah, my to-do list is getting cleared out. So
cool.
Yeah.
So that'll be Wednesday. And that's for everybody who's doing gardening, it'll be a good day to plant stuff for the garden, too. New moons are good for that.
Mm-hmm.
And the Aries new moon is good. It'll give them a boost to sprout quickly. And then it's also a good day to pay taxes,
mm-hmm.
which is actually the next day. You can wait till the last minute, right?
Right.
But you might as well figure out what that number is going to be on Wednesday, mm-hmm. so that you can pay it on Thursday.
Yeah.
And, you know, actually, new moon is nice to do that on. And it's kind of nice that tax day is just before that Mercury retrograde, because maybe we'll get the forms in. Otherwise, you know, we could all send into the IRS and what is that form for filing late? So like everybody would file late and just put reason for filing late, Mercury retrograde.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure the IRS would understand that.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember what the name of the form is that you...
I think it's just... it's something about...
I want to say it's a 1063, but I don't know that that's right.
Yeah, I don't know the number, but I do know that if you file that and you can estimate what you think you're going to owe, it's smart to go ahead and send in an estimated payment,
mm-hmm.
because then you won't owe penalties on it.
Oh, you have to send an estimated payment. It's not just a plain old
right.
Send it in, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And because otherwise you'll owe penalties. So even Mercury retrograde won't save you from that. Gotta pay. Anyway, that's coming up on Thursday. So So you'll be paying your taxes on a new moon. Why not? Gives the economy a boost.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
You're doing your part to dig us out of this hole. And, so Mercury retrograde.
Mm-hmm.
And that will be with us for the next 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So we always give our little talk about things that are good to avoid during the retrograde period on Mercury. And that includes making major purchases. If you can put those off, that's good, especially electronic stuff or anything to do with communications, because Mercury rules communications. And when Mercury is going backward, it means that those things are a little shaky.
Right.
So if you can kind of deal with that a little, go ahead and do that. But if you have to do it, then you have to do it. And then you were meant to do it on a Mercury retrograde. But also signing contracts. If you have to sign a contract during those 3 weeks,
right,
be sure you really double read everything and read it backwards as well as forward, and make sure you understand and figure that even with good diligence, later on something will turn up that you didn't quite understand the way you were supposed to.
Right.
And that's okay. You'll just have to deal with it then.
Mm-hmm.
But that is something that Mercury affects, is all of our communications. And when it's retrograde, the communications are sort of garbled.
Yes, they totally are garbled. And I think that part of the energy of it, because the moon is in Aries, people are really in the mood to pick fights and to be nasty and to send nasty emails. And so when you understand that that's part of the energy, it's Mars is in Leo, and the drama and the negativity and the screaming and yelling, that's all part of what it is. So when you look at it and you say, okay, how do I want to work with this? And, it isn't often that we have, I have to say, I've been an astrologer 14 years, and one of the things that we have is right now we have very dramatic aspects in the sky that we haven't had in years. Literally none in our lifetime, and not in many, many years in our country's lifetime. So part of what we're looking at is we're looking at this whole process of how do we go to it, what do we do with it, what's the point, and how do you work with this energy? And so if you understand that part of the deal is to say, okay, there's all this drama flying around in the sky, what do I have to do in the middle to hold this? And this week, because the moon's in Aries, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, moon in Aries is in the mood to fight. It wants to fight. It likes to fight. It likes to be dramatic and scream and yell. Mars in Leo goes, and that kind of craziness. And then once we clear that, Mercury retrograde says, stop. Saturn in Virgo, let's criticize. Let's be drama. Let's tell you all the things you've done wrong, rather than looking and saying, this is what actually is helpful. And I think we find a lot of people focusing on the negative. And part of that is to say, okay, you want to tell me about the negative stuff I've done, then tell me three things I've done positive. Don't send, it's very easy for people to be critical under this energy. And it's saying, rather than living in criticism, how do we create a positive energy and move it forward? And I think one of the things that we find when there's this much fraught energy around is that people are feeling attacked or feeling not heard or feeling not seen. And then to say, okay, that's part of the energy. It's okay. You're going to be fine. If you understand it is temporary, it's a transit, it's a transitional time. And as we get into next week, Saturn and Uranus are going to be getting closer and closer and to each other, to an opposition. So people are really going to be in the mood to erupt and blow up and yell and make, kind of steam off. And you have to say, gee, if they steam off at me, did I do anything wrong? Or am I doing the best I can do in this situation? And that's my position on it. And, if they're not happy with it, okay, well, they don't have to play. And I think if we understand that when there's so much going on, that part of the journey is to simply stand in your truth and stand in your space and say, from my perspective, this is the place. This is the place I can stand and be clear. And I think that's the key. And the clarity now, unfortunately, isn't necessarily there because people are not in the mood to be clear. They're kind of in the mood to be attacking and yelling and jumping up and down and waving tea bags and, you know, doing whatever. So I think that part of the story is saying, how do we balance that? How do we say, okay, what's my life's purpose? Why am I here? What's the reason for being here? And if we focus that way, it kind of calms us down and it gets us a little bit better clarity and a little more understanding of where we're going. And that, I think, is the gift of these transits. It's that you are going to feel under stress, that there is stuff that's going on that's causing problems. And people are without work. People are trying to figure out how they're going to pay their bills. People are having major problems. And to say, and not me, I think is, you know, maybe good. That's not you. I'm glad that's not happening in your world, but it might be happening in someone else's world. And having the patience to understand that that's part of the journey that we're on now. These are really hard transits with the T-square that's forming in the sky and with the Saturn-Uranus opposition. People are eruptive. And I've just found in my life, or my practice maybe is a better way to say it, that the stuff that's coming in the door is feeling very overwhelmed. How do I work with this energy? I don't know what I want to do. And I think if we focus on our vision for where we're going, I think that's a helpful way to do it. The other thing is, because Juno is so active right now, what Juno was she was Zeus's wife, and what she did was rather than hold Zeus accountable for fooling around with the other women, or the women that he fooled around with, you know, she went after the women and tortured them or picked on them. And I think there's a tendency right now for people to want to pick on each other because that's the way they're feeling that they need to vent or get information out or do whatever. So I think that's the other part, is when someone's wanting to pick on you, you have to say to them, you know, like, okay, you know, you're entitled to have your opinion. And then look and say, well, how do you want to partner with the person? And what do you want to do with them? You know, and in that capacity, where a lot of us are revising how we want to partner and figuring out what we need to do. So I think that that's the other thing that's going on right now, is what's the vision of how we're going to get to where we're going? And, you know, go from there. So I think that the other part of it is, like, how do we do this? Now, this week, interestingly, Juno is very, very active. She has, let's see, I've got it here, my notes. Okay, Juno first on the 14th is getting a square from Neptune. So that's saying to you, I'm disillusioned. I'm disillusioned with this image. I'm disillusioned with how this works. I don't really like this. And then she has a sextile to Uranus saying, okay, let's come up with a different way of doing it. The square between Neptune and Juno, and Juno's in Taurus, you know, protecting the tradition, holding the way it's supposed to be. And then when she does the sextile to Uranus, she says, actually, let's see if we can figure out a different way to approach this. Then we go to the 16th, and Saturn trines Juno, saying, okay, let's come up with a different way to partner. And on the 16th also, Pluto has a biquintile aspect to her. And biquintiles are interesting. They're the fifth harmonic, and a biquintile is kind of a double jolt of that. So it's a little kind of like a double wheatgrass juice, you know, where you kind of go, oh, wow, I see the answer, I see the solution. And giving it form and giving it energy is an important thing. And it's also listening to the ideas that come in, because Pluto in conjunct, or biquintile to Juno, is a nice aspect. Then we have Chiron square Juno, and that's a fight. You know, Chiron's in Aquarius, and it's squaring Juno in Taurus. So that's an argument and a discussion, and Chiron is mean. It's the wound we carry. It's the soreness, the sensitivity, the pain and the difficulty. And then on the 17th, we also have Juno sesquiquadrate, which is a stressful aspect that takes action. It's the little square with a little leg on it that says, okay, I'm under stress, but I have to take some kind of action and move forward. And then we do that. And so that's the forward motion with that. And then Juno then aspects the node, giving you a choice on the 17th. And then also Juno aspects Gemini on the 17th. And what that does is that moves us into a new choice. And when she's out of Taurus, where she's fixed and deliberate, and this is the way it has to be, and nothing else is going to work, and she moves into Gemini, she then has, she feels like she has more choices. She feels like she has more options. And she does, truly. So that's part of the part of the path of this week, is feeling like where you've been stuck or where it's been held, that you're in this new place now. You can actually make a choice. And truth be told, not really until the 26th of the month, when the Uranus-Saturn opposition happens, but that frustration breaks. And that's really the key, because once the frustration breaks, you're actually on the path to figuring it out the new life. So, and I think it's an interesting week. I'm looking forward to kind of the energy shifting and changing. And I do happen to like Mercury retrogrades. I'm a Virgo, and it does my heart good because I always feel like I get so much more accomplished on those.
The Mercury retrograde.
Yeah, yeah. They make this Virgo feel very, I don't know, very like, oh, thank heavens, I have free time to clean this up, or I have, you know, the forces work to help clean it up. So it's
good.
Yeah,
and it brings attention to Mercury.
Yes.
We all have to look at Mercury and the role of Mercury in our lives. And so, you know, we value Virgo and
mm-hmm.
Gemini
mm-hmm.
a little more.
Right.
Because, you know, Mercury goes with those signs
yes.
so strongly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It totally has a really productive energy to it.
Right.
Yeah. So I think it's good. So I'm kind of looking forward to it. And forward we go. So we do have a caller. So with the hand up. I will
okay.
take the first call. See if they're there. Hello, 212. Hi, 212.
Hello.
Hi. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm very good.
Good.
Yeah,
good.
What's up? Do you have a question?
Well, when you were
Excitement?
Talking,
mm-hmm.
I do have a question, and that
okay.
is when you were talking about transition earlier
mm-hmm.
and how we're going to find out kind of more about what direction we could move in.
Yeah.
Is there a way you can look at my chart and just say, here's the area that you seem to be transitioning in, or does that mean
no.
that the whole chart is?
Well, the whole chart.
I feel like I'm up for a big transition.
yeah.
Because
totally.
Especially when you were talking about like the partner thing, I have some business partners, and I'm trying to make sure they're the right partners for the right businesses.
Okay. So that would probably say you were heading in you know, the that area would be active. So what's your birth information?
January 27th,
mm-hmm.
1947.
1947, time.
6:30 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
And
where?
Sweetwater, Texas.
Oh,
and
what a great,
yeah.
what a great nice town. I like that name.
And the only problem is there are two of them. So this one's the one in
Nolan or Comanche?
Nolan.
Nolan County, okay. Two Sweetwater, Texas.
How
though.
That's possible? Who knows?
Who knows? Somebody liked the name. They're like, no, it's my town. No, it's my town.
I guess.
All right, yeah. So your business partner energy, the you know, what we look at with the chart. So Jan 2747, 6:30 in the morning, got a Capricorn rising.
Mm-hmm.
16 degrees. Okay. So what we're looking at is the whole thing with the T-square is the energy that is the energy from the T-square, there's three legs, and it shoots the energy out into the Cancer house. So we look to see where the T-square lands. So you're having the Neptune, no, not the Neptune, the Saturn part of it, it's the edge of the eighth house, and the eighth house saying, what do I want to do in terms of merging my assets with other people, partnering with other people, Saturn and Libra, or continuing to move alone? Now, natally, Saturn lives in your seventh house, so partnering with others is an area that is Saturnian for you, where you're also maybe a little cautious, but that's part of your path, you know, is that you're supposed to partner with people in transformation because your Saturn and Pluto are joined. Then we have opposite that, we have over on the other side, we have Uranus about to go into Aries, but it's in your second house, and it's saying, how do we break free creatively? How do we create the things we're trying to change? And, of course, Uranus lives in the fifth house of creativity, which is why I use the phrase break free creatively. But so Uranus natally is in your fifth saying, I need to be creative. And Saturn and Uranus right now are having an argument in the sky, And they have it for this, the rest of this week, and then they kind of resolve it. And Saturn's going backwards and Uranus is going forwards, so the change element wins, as opposed to in September, when Uranus was going backwards and Saturn was going forwards, the conservative element won. So now we're up for change. So we just heard Conan O'Brien, because he should be in the news, because we're about to have the argument with Jay Leno and him and the night thing. He's forward, right? So he's just announced he's got his new show, because he's Iranian in that story. Jay was the known entity that was conservative. And so in September, Jay won,
okay.
And now Conan wins or gets something. And then the square, the Pluto Capricorn, is coming from your 12th house by transit, but it goes back to the 7th house of who's my partner. So the energy shoots out into the 6th house, because that's the Cancer house, saying to you, okay, so how do I move this story forward, and what do I do about my daily routines and rituals and my activity on a daily basis in my work? And that's where the transformation changes. Now, the place we always look for is the Leo place, the Leo house. For you, that's the 7th. Because that's where the sun wants to shine. And you are an Aquarian, you know, so your sun opposite Mars says, oh, okay, let's shine. And, of course, right now Mars is going through that 7th house, emphasizing what kind of partners do you want to be with. But this is a conversation you've been having since last fall, and now you're actually ready to either commit to them for the next 2 years or to say, you know, I think I'm going to go do it myself, or to come up with some third option as Mars goes through that Leo house and wraps up his story from the fall.
Ah,
right.
Okay.
But the output for you, the transformation for you, is the Cancer house. It is for everybody, the early Cancer degrees, because that's the open leg of the T-square. So Cancer is transforming. Now, Cancer is one of our most insecure houses, because it's the house of how we feel nurtured and safe, how we feel loved and adored, how we feel... you know, what's mother's milk to us? Not even loved and adored is the wrong word. How do we feel cared for in a way that makes us feel like we're able to grow and not be afraid to show who we are? So that energy there wants to kind of come out and say, okay, this is who I am. This is my gift to give to the world through my daily routines and activities. Now, in your case, interestingly, you're going to have Uranus come, not more next year than this year, but he's in orb of your moon, and he's saying to your moon, again, I have to transform, and the moon, of course, rules Cancer. So for you, this is actually a really major transformational process, because your grand trine in fire is being very stimulated by the transformation that's going on. And then secondly, because Saturn and Pluto in your chart are joined, whenever those two planets fight in the sky, your charts, whenever those two planets talk to each other in the sky, and right now they're fighting in the sky, the Saturn and Pluto in your chart wakes up and says, okay, how do I assert myself with other people? How do I assert my authority with other people? How do I say this is who I am to others? And your Aquarian sun always is trying to figure out the easy, not the easy way is the wrong word, but it's trying to figure out a way to do that, that you preserve your integrity and you preserve your intention while you allow yourself to be who you really are, because Aquarians always see the world slightly differently, and it's opposite to the sun. It's opposite to Saturn, Pluto. So the opening for everybody is the early Cancer house. In your case, it's the work. The place to go to shine is the Leo house, and then the way to shine is wherever your sun is. So for your case, you're supposed to shine in partnerships that are balanced and equal.
Uh-oh.
Well,
I have one that's balanced and equal and one that is not.
Well, the not one, what you want to look at for the not part is why isn't it and what's out of balance about it? Because Saturn, Pluto on one side is going to want to assert the power and the authority, but the Aquarian sun says if it's not equal and balanced, I don't know that I want to play.
Okay.
I'm not sure I want to be here. Why am I in a partnership that's not supportive of me? And Aquarians, interesting, like Meyer Epstein made a really interesting presentation on Uranus going into Aries. And she said Uranus was born without a father. So Aquarians often don't, you know, they don't have authority figures that they necessarily go, I respect that authority figure. They have to earn
That's
the respect,
okay.
Right? And so Aquarians, because they didn't have a father, they're like, well, who gave you the right to boss me around? And so that's part of what they're, you know, we say they're rebellious, but what they're really doing is they're looking at the authority and saying, by whose right are you my boss? By whose right are you my authority?
Okay.
And so right now, you're really working out what the authority is in your life. Who's the authority? You, them, negotiated, and negotiated is the key. That's what you want to go with. But understanding that that transformation is most important.
So. Okay. So in other words, this is the time to stand up for myself and get it clear about if I want to be my own authority.
Yeah.
Or if I want to, okay.
Well, sure. You are supposed to be your own authority on your chart. That's your karmic life. All of your life, all the time, trying to be your own authority. And then when you get washed over by a wave, you get back up and you go, okay, I'm my authority again. You know, because we are our own authorities, but we also have to work and live in the collective being. And the way you're really your own authority is by being creative.
Okay.
That's
well,
your chart.
All of that's going on. It's just I just feel like I'm the one writing all the web pages and doing all the stuff.
Uh-huh.
So,
yeah.
Uh-huh.
And that's
well,
okay.
But that's what gives you the authority.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
You know?
You're the
oh.
one who offered it.
You're doing the work.
Oh.
You have the most say. It's
okay.
A little bit like, remember Chicken Little? Who wants to help me do this and who wants to help me do that? And
that's right.
Nobody.
The little red hen or whatever.
Buy, right?
Yeah, the little
whatever
red
whatever that was. Yeah.
Okay.
And that really is, you know, you got to watch out for that little drama. And, you know, if you're the one that's doing all the little things, then, you know, those add up to being who's going to make the decisions.
Right.
Right? So,
okay.
And authority,
you know,
is the root word is author, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who authored the web pages? Well,
that's
you
right.
did, you know.
Hey, I never thought of that author authority thing.
Author
there
and authority. Who owns it?
Ah.
Yep.
The author is the person who wrote it and who therefore owns it. I mean, that's the idea of copyright, is you wrote it, it's your idea, you own it. You're the author of it. You're the authority on it. And the reason you're writing it is because you know stuff about it to teach other people, right? And so
wow.
there's a built-in authority in the word author. And as the person who's doing the writing, you are the author. You're the authority. So it's a good thing.
Oh, fabulous. Wow. Thank
just
you so much. I feel empowered.
Yeah. That's what astrology is for, you know, is to say, you know, life sometimes sucks, but damn, if I get it straight, I really see, you know, what I'm really doing here is I'm being my own authority.
I know. I'm anxious to get to the part in my chart where the money comes to the authority, but for now I guess it's enough that I just have the authority.
Well,
get started somewhere, you know?
Right, but your chart does want to have you ask, you know, because you do have the sun ruling the eighth, and you have the sun in the seventh, in the first house, and your Venus is, where's Venus? Oh, she's in Sag. Okay, so your Venus is really supported in this process. You just were trained out of asking when you were little. And, I, you know, there's a friend of mine said, you know, when women have issues with money, very often it's an issue around power. So once they understand that they have some power, they're pretty comfortable saying, you know, I got some power here. I want some money. And it clears the energy pretty quickly. So I would say to you, what's your power base in this situation? And use that to be the way to get yourself some money.
Wow. Wow. Thank you. Thank you both so much.
Good.
Fabulous. Okay,
good.
Thank you.
Glad you liked it. Yay.
I did. Okay.
Forward you go.
Thanks.
All right. Good. Okay,
okay.
Cool.
All righty.
Bye. Have a good time.
Okay,
all
thanks.
Right.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay,
okay. Yeah. So we got 21 minutes relating, and now we've got to go to 646 if it picks up. The hand's drawn. Hi, 646. Are you there?
Hi.
Hi.
So this is Anastasia. How are you, Ann and Mark? It's good to hear your voice again.
Oh,
it's been a while.
Anastasia, how have you? We haven't seen you in ages.
I'm really good. I'm just most of the time in Queens now. That's how come I never make it out there. But I listen to you on Blog Talk.
Yay!
Okay. Yeah. So I have actually a couple of questions. One is very personal. The other one is very broad and more global.
Okay. What's your birth information?
It's December 4, 1979
mm-hmm.
at 9:45 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
And in Moscow, Russia.
Moscow, Russia. Mm-hmm. All right. So fire away. What are your questions? December 4, 1979, 9:45 p.m. Okay, go.
Exactly. Yep.
Do that one more time.
December 4, 1979, 9:45 p.m. Moscow, Russia, giving her a 21 Leo rising.
Okay.
Yep, exactly. That's me.
That's you.
So I'm expecting a baby in early June.
Wow, congratulations.
Thank you so much. So I was curious what it's, you know, what you know about that are going to be the astrological energies at that time around June 8 or 10, something like that. I mean, he can come earlier or later, probably a little earlier. They kind of decide on their own, but that's the due date. That's my first question. And the second question is, there's this web bot guy. I don't know if you've heard of him. His name is Cliff something. He designed this program that basically uses internet as divination. His program scans for emotional changes in language, just the forms. He's got about 20 forms that he scans, and he uses it to figure out, because he believes that everybody's psychic, so just by the way we use words in our absolutely normal daily conversation reveals something of how we're picking up the future. So when he analyzes these changes in language, he's able to predict a lot of things in the future. Not always what it is, because it's just very few words. Like there will be the words like vaccine, disease, and just November. But he won't, you know, he has to analyze what that means. So what he's predicting is that exactly the kind of turning point, these are the words, turning point that happened at 9/11 is going to happen again this year in around November. He doesn't know what it is, he has no clue what exactly it's going to be, and he doesn't even want to project that it might be something negative because he doesn't want to put a negative image out there, but it is clear to him that there's going to be another turning point of the same weight. So my question is, what astrologically is happening around November of this year that you might see as influencing some kind of a major turning point? I mean, it could probably be economic, but, you know, there might be other things to it that you know of.
Okay. All right, good. Those are good questions.
Yeah.
Okay, Mark, you want to go first, and then I'll pipe up?
Let's see, November. What is going on in November? We have this ongoing T-square that we keep talking about that's really coming in, and that's the one that involves Pluto with Uranus and Saturn, and that's a big deal. That actually something is going to start up with that in late July, early August, and then I think it kicks in again in November, doesn't it, Ann?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the T-square has been pretty active for a while.
Right. And, you know, that's really a huge energy to change things and, you know, very radically. And it's hard to predict, and it'll happen at a lot of levels. But, you know, we're going to see kind of the carpet pulled out from what we expect to be established. And you know, there'll be a lot of power struggle, a lot of question of authority and how it's being used, who has the authority. We're going back to that authority thing, right? But, you know, the whole question of authority is going to come up. And so there'll be a lot of questioning and a lot of trying to take it apart in order to put it back together again in some other way. And there'll be a lot of different ideas about what's the best way to take this system apart and what's the best way to put it together.
Right.
And how can we do that, you know? And there's going to be a big tug of war over, you know, how that's going to play out. And that is really what we're going to be seeing late summer all the way through the fall.
I kind of agree with Mark on that. I think one of the things that we, you know, when we have a big aspect form and the exactness, the first exactness is August 2nd, but the energies start to shift in the beginning of June, right when your babies do. So we'll talk a little bit about that too. When the T-square forms, what it does is it says, it acts like a fight, you know, because it's three sides, planets at three sides. And in this case, they're hard planets. They're Pluto and they're Saturn and they're Uranus. And then Jupiter's in the mix, but Jupiter, you know, he can go good or bad depending on who he's hanging out with. So he's hanging out with three muggers, or three planets that are a little more stressful and challenging. And so people are going to feel a little more stressed and challenged. And I think part of the energy of the stress is feeling that, you know, like, well, I don't really know quite what I'm doing, or I feel like I'm torn between different points. And part of the energy is to say, yeah, that's the whole idea. And so that when you have three big planets fighting, and they're on the cardinal axis, meaning they're in the area where they want to take action, because cardinal planets like to take action. So the planets are in the mood to be active and in the mood to be doing stuff. So they're going to be acting up. They're going to be saying, okay, I'm ready to take action. I'm ready to change things. I'm ready to jump up and down. And so we have a couple things. We have the elections coming in the fall, you know, which is going to be interesting to see who runs and who holds their seats and who loses their seats. On an economic level, we're having Uranus square Saturn. And we know when Pluto went into Capricorn, just Pluto by himself caused the big economic collapse. So now we've got a bunch of planets in the same planet fighting with Pluto, who was the economic collapse last time. We look at the sign of Capricorn and we say, okay, Capricorn is about restructuring the government and the corporations and knowing how those shifts and those shift and change. And it also is about looking and saying, okay, where are we going and how are we going to get there? Because cardinal planets want to move. They want to do something. So I don't know. The other thing that's happening, and I think it's important, it's instructive, because I think it's a positive piece. And sometimes we know when we read the stuff on the internet, we can feel a little overwhelmed that it's all negative, economic collapse, you know, what's that going to mean? I'm going to lose all my money. It's like, no, what we're doing is we're waking up. There's an aspect that was formed in the 1960s when Uranus and Pluto joined each other. And they said, let's change the culture. Let's change the collective. And so we had the civil rights movement and the women's movement and the gay movement. And it did change the culture. We did change direction. And now Uranus is going to come to square Pluto and say, do you like the direction you changed in? And part of the answer is, well, yeah, some of it was good. And then other parts of the answer was, well, we thought we'd change things permanently, but we kind of went away and we didn't pay attention. And maybe they aren't where we quite would like them to be. And so then we have the option with the Uranus square Pluto, because it's going to do it seven times, which is a lot. With Uranus square Pluto, what we're doing is we're moving towards getting, you know, a new vision of how we're going to move forward. We're moving towards a new idea of what needs to happen. And that's part of that process is the square, because squares always ask you to make a choice and to take, you know, they bring a crisis of consciousness around where you say, wow, I thought this was fixed. Now I realize I have to do more. And we're all going to be asked to step up to the plate in some manner, in our, however our chart wants us to step up. And we'll have to step up in the Cancer place in our chart, the house that holds Cancer, because that's where the energy is going to want us to take, where the energy is going to go, and that we're going to be able to grab a hold of it and do something. And then as Uranus in Aries squares Pluto in Capricorn, the Saturn in the Libra places and the Cancer places are also the open energies of those squares. So those places are partnerships, what we partner with and how we partner, and Cancer as the source of nurturing and what makes us feel safe and whole and warm and fuzzy. So it's an interesting time we're in, and we haven't had aspects like this in years and years. And years and years. So it's a huge transition, and on some level, we don't really know what to do with them. The last time there was even anything remotely similar was the fixed cross that took place in the late 90s, which was the mad cow disease that kind of swept England, and all those cows got killed. And that was a cross in the heavens that said, take action. But it wasn't a cross of agriculture. This one's on the marketplace and how we interact with each other and what we say we're doing and how we're doing it. So there's a lot of energy around that in this one that's coming up. So, and then in terms of the baby, which is very cool, congratulations. Yay, mom.
Thank you.
Yay. Hey. You're going to be having this baby born with a T-square. So what the baby is going to represent all the changes that we go through in the collective over the next few years. So it's a revolutionary little child that's coming in. And he's got a lovely placement of Jupiter, Uranus, and Aries, so he's going to be a little, I love Jupiter and Uranus aspects joined, because it's the idea of expansion and creation, and then the idea of change. So they're really, very strong change agents. And if he's born in early June, he's going to be your Saturn return. So, because you're, you know, you've got Saturn at 26, so you're going to become an authority and a mom, which is way cool. And you're going to give this little guy guidance based on all the stuff that you've learned in studies on your spiritual path. And you have Mercury Uranus in your chart. So you guys are going to have a special kind of communication because there's a, you know, the Mercury Uranus kind of really mirrors the Jupiter Uranus. So it gives a special connect with little person. So very cool.
Very interesting.
Yeah, you're gonna,
but yeah, you're gonna be a mom. How cool is that?
Oh yeah, you know? Super cool. I'm very excited.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have all that optimistic Sagittarius energy to bring into it.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, very very idealistic and optimistic at the same time.
Yeah. And also, you know, part of your job is as this child's teacher, you know, if I kind of happen to like the idea, you know, I mean, of course, none of these things are provable, but I do like the idea. The children pick their parents, and they pick the parent that is going to be able to provide them the environment that they need to be in to be nurtured and grown. So this little person arriving now is going to find a careful mother who teaches, but who also understands the greater responsibility, because he's going to have Saturn in Virgo. But then he's also going to have, at the same time he has Saturn in Virgo, he's going to have this little part of him that goes, let's change the place up. Let's roll up the rug and get the party going and get out there and dance, dance, dance and have the world change with us. So he's got a lot of energy around that change energy, which is very cool.
Interesting. Anything more you can say about his, you know, what his chart is going to be like?
Well, we need to, you know, the actual date. So, you know, once you have them, give us a call and we'll look at it from that perspective. But, I mean, coming in at that time, you know, he's going to have very strong energy around being in, you know, because that's technically when the first, you know, once the stuff gets within a couple degrees, you know, the babies that are born in that time are going to have very strong energy to help change the world. And, you know, we need it.
Yeah, really all this summer. Mm-hmm. All this summer, the babies that are born will participate in that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Their job is to help the rest of us figure out how to get where we're going. And our job is to say to them, wow, thanks for coming. You know, how are we going to do this? And they'll go, well, this is what we're going to do. And we'll be like, okay. They're going to be very wise little people. So it's a good time to be born if you're a little person coming in. So, but, of course, they know that already. So it's cool. But.
And it looks like he's going to be a Gemini almost no matter when he's realistically born. It's kind of interesting because my moon is Gemini, my mother's son is Gemini, my partner's mom is Gemini, so both of our moms are Gemini.
Wow.
So it's kind of interesting that happened that way. We have, and among our friends, we have a lot of Gemini energy, and I wonder what that means, you know. Some people
support for this little Gemini.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That he's going to be raised in a collective of people that understand that quest for knowledge and value it and say to him, sure, let's teach you stuff. Come on, let's go explore the world and see what's out there. Because Geminis always have a quest for knowledge or a quest for understanding, if not knowledge. They want to know how the things work. And so by having a bunch of people that are Geminis that get that energy, he's going to feel very connected to his tribe and very, you know, related to in terms of the people that are raising him, you know. The hardest thing for a Gemini is to live with some Scorpio parents who don't talk. And they go, wow, nobody talks here. I need to talk, you know. So living with Gemini parents is actually good if you're a Gemini because everybody talks and everybody connects and everybody relates, you know. It's very cool.
Gotcha. Well, my partner is Aquarius, so I think
Sarah's
we make,
yeah.
Yeah, okay. we make a pretty good trine.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, yeah.
And also chatty, you know. Aquarius is a chatty placement. So you and partner talk a lot and, you know, figure out things that way. And so your son will have that energy of, okay, let us sit down and discuss how we're going to handle this, and then everybody comes up with their version of the plan, and then we move forward. So it's kind of cool. It's very neat. Yeah.
Just out of curiosity, mm-hmm. anything in this November, does it resemble anything at all of what was going on in September 2001?
No.
Astrologically? Mm-hmm. Really?
Now, what's happening in November is Jupiter and Uranus are joining in Cancer. You know, they're very close. I actually looked at the back, you know, the front end of the year is having a lot of stuff. And once we get to November, the fall, it actually is kind of a little quiet because Uranus is back in Pisces and Jupiter's back in Pisces and they're in water signs. So even though they're stirring up things and they're emotional, it's not necessarily action-based. It's more emotional-based. So it's not, it didn't look to me, and I mean, I've not noticed anything offhand in November about it other than, you know, I was kind of going, oh, good, that's when we all get to sit down and not have to do anything for a couple of months until Jupiter and
although
stuff.
What might come up then is all the response and reaction to the heavier hit of August.
Of August, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the only thing I can see in November is North Nodes on Pluto. But Pluto is moving forward. Sun's in Scorpio. Jupiter and Uranus are near each other. You know, the energy we have now in the sky it's similar, but the push on the T-square is finished because Saturn's now at 12, and he's cleared those energies. So he's not looking for structural reform. He's looking for partnership and creation energy. So it'll be interesting. Venus is retrograde then, but I don't think of that as being a huge thing.
No, that's not. Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder if it could also be anything on the internet, not an actual physical attack, but something internet related, and which is virtual. It's not exactly physical. You know.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I'm not saying anything. I mean, you know, I mean, we are very computer reliant, but.
Exactly. Yeah.
I don't really see any. I mean, I'm not looking at horrible aspects on this. So, I mean, Jupiter Uranus. We're already going to have had the first hit, and that is usually the one. That's the one we get conscious on. So we'll see. Mm-hmm. We'll just see what happens. You know, the whole point is stay tuned. Life is happening. So.
Right. Well, very cool. Thank you so much.
Keep us.
And it was awesome to catch up. So I'm going to continue listening to you for just 3 minutes longer.
I know. We're at the back end of the show, so we got to hang up and get going. All right. So we'll talk to you soon.
All right.
Bye.
Okay, Anastasia.
Yeah. Okay, so forward we go. The show's almost over. 2 minutes left. Mark, what do we have left to say to our audience?
Well, just remember this week we got our new moon coming up. Good time for planting Wednesday. And it's that Aries new moon. And then we have Mercury going retrograde.
Mm-hmm.
And we have 3 weeks of that, and that's all happening in Taurus. And then Juno is active this week, so relationships are under examination.
And change.
Yep. Exactly.
Right. And also, Bill of Virginia wrote me and asked, when should he mail his taxes in to be safe from the IRS? So one of the things, Bill, and I know Bill, and one of the things that we've talked about is you mail your taxes in on a void, of course, moon, so nothing will come of it, meaning the IRS will just kind of take your money and leave you alone. So the void, of course, moon this week that you want to use if you want to mail your taxes in is 3:23 Eastern Time on the Wednesday the 14th to 6:55 p.m. on Wednesday the 14th. The moon is void from 3:23 in the afternoon to 6:55 at night, and that is an excellent time to mail your taxes. We have nice closing aspects of a moon sextile Neptune, which says they comes in, they take the money, and they file you in the drawer, and they leave you alone. So for those of you who like to take advantage of void moons to send off your stuff, this is when to do it. And there was one this morning, but... You missed it. Let's see what else. The closing aspects this week are pretty nice. So most of the things that you're trying to get accomplished go pretty well. So no hard closing aspects, which is always a good thing. And then the Mercury retrograde, which says, time to revise, revisit, redo. So you want to close it up?
All right. Thanks for listening. This is Access Astrology, Mark Waltz, mm-hmm. Heather Roan Robbins, and Ann Ortley.
Me on the bright green desk.
Yeah. And tune in every week and send us in your questions to astronyc.com or phone in on the show.
Right. Or you can even stop by and see Mark and I at East West Bookstore on Tuesday nights from 6:30 to 7:30. which is always fun. So hopefully you all have a great week, and we'll see you next week.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.